Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up on Long Island in New York and earned a Bachelor of Science in Accounting from the University of Kentucky. After serving for 5 years as a CPA, he joined the Breakers in 1985, and in 1994, he became its president. The Breakers, Palm Beach, is a historic 538-room Italian Renaissance-style hotel in Palm Beach, Florida. It was opened in 1896 by railroad tycoon Henry Flagler to accommodate travelers on his Florida East Coast Railroad. Our guest name, Paul Leone. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Paul Leone, who is the CEO of The Breakers, an unbelievable place. If you've never been there, put it on your bucket list. Paul, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Jack, it's an honor to be with you. Love hearing about your story, reading about you. It's a great story. Great to be with you today.
Thank you. Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Yeah, sure, sure. Well, I was born in Brooklyn, New York, and my parents moved us to Oceanside, Long Island in the early 1960s. And I spent the first almost 15 years of my life in Oceanside, Long Island, a wonderful little town on Long Island. And with our extended Italian family, every weekend we would get together with our grandparents and aunts and uncles, and it was a great way to grow up in Long Island. My dad, we had a wonderful upbringing, but my parents made a meager sort of living. My dad drove a truck for a laundry company, and my mother did a number of jobs. The one I'm most proud of was when she was a New York City policewoman in 1970. And it was a time when there weren't too many women. She and two of her sisters actually became New York City policewomen. They kind of made history back then.
Well, what's the biggest thing, Paul, you learned from Dad, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Mom?
Wow. From my dad, I would say my dad was one of the kindest, most generous people. He was quiet but strong, and everybody who knew my dad loved him. And it was kind of neat because he didn't sort of project himself on anybody, but he had a big presence. And I think it was because of his heart. And my mom, you know, equally generous and kind, but I would say my mom was a fighter. My mom was had a lot of courage, and an incredibly hard worker. My mom could outwork most men, I'll be honest with you. And so I think together, and I share this with my four sons these days, in a simple sort of line, you know, be nice and work hard. That's what I learned from my parents. That's been really valuable to me.
We're talking to Paul Leone, who at age 15 moved with his family to Paris, but not that Paris. You moved to Paris, Kentucky. What was Paris, Kentucky like?
Oh my goodness. Entering 10th grade, coming from Long Island, and really, you know, even though it was a suburb of New York City, I considered myself a city kid. And my mother remarries, and my parents got divorced, unfortunately, but it was amicable. And my mom remarried and decided, you know, as we started sort of anew, we'd move to Paris, Kentucky, where my stepfather, because my stepfather was a Kentuckian, he had been living in New York at the time when they got married, but we moved. My mom, five children, my stepdad, to Paris, Kentucky. And that first year, it was culture shock. I mean, it was especially hard being a high school kid, leaving all my friends, all the people, all the kids I'd grown up with, and these, you know, the surroundings that I'd become comfortable with. But it was also so different from New York. And I will tell you, the first year, I didn't think I was going to like it at all. And it took about a year, and the rest is history. I ended up spending 10 years there, and I absolutely loved it. But Paris was a very, very small town, maybe a population 5,000, a farming community, agricultural, and, you know, small town, tight-knit community, and Italian family moving in, Catholic Italian family from New York. It was sort of culture shock for them, too. But it took us a while to adjust, about a year, and it was great after that.
And your family owned and operated five local motels and a couple restaurants. What were some of your first jobs in those hotels and restaurants?
Yeah, you know, the first first job, the first motel was called the Starlight Motel in Paris, Kentucky. It was right on the main road coming in from Lexington, and it was right across the street from our high school. It was neat to, you know, have the business right there in the center of town and on sort of Main Street and across from the high school. So, you know, we'd go back and forth from school and work. And my first job was getting behind the front desk and answering the switchboard. Back in 1975, a switchboard had the old wires where you had to plug one in and the other one to connect the call. It was the old-fashioned switchboard, and I was doing that and then checking guests in and out. And then my parents really put me to work scrubbing toilets and making beds and cleaning rooms, and we did everything in between.
Great training to be the CEO of the Breakers. We're with Paul Ioni. All right, you go to University of Kentucky, and you major in accounting. Why?
Yeah, you know, I at that point in my life, I really didn't think I was even going to go to college. But my stepdad told me, he was one of my, not only my stepdad, but one of the first mentors in my life, who said to me, "You've got a lot of talent. You've got a lot of ability. You're definitely going to college and pick a subject." And I looked around, and I had an uncle, my uncle Lou Biscotti, who was only about 10 years older than me. He's more like a cousin almost. But he was a very successful CPA in New York. Always looked up to him. He was another mentor to me. And I said, "I think I'll study accounting. Uncle Lou's doing really well." And that's how I got into it.
Since you're from Paris, Kentucky, for a number of years, we'd be remiss if we don't talk about the Kentucky Derby, the greatest 2 minutes in sports. We just watched another one here a couple weeks ago. What makes that so special?
Oh, my gosh, the tradition. It's, you know, it's such a longstanding tradition, and everybody in the entire state gets excited about it. And as you've just seen, people get all dressed up, and there are parties thrown. If you can't make it to Churchill Downs, you'll be at a party somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think in Lexington in particular, and in Paris, you know, smaller town, but really known as the thoroughbred capital of the world, people are especially proud of the breeding and you know, that's done there, and the number of champions that have come out of those farms. So, yeah, I really enjoyed that tradition.
We're talking to Paul Ioni. When we come back, we're going to ask him how it was he got from Paris, Kentucky to Palm Beach, Florida. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasul. We're with Paul Ioni, who, after graduating with an accounting degree from University of Kentucky, became a CPA with Coopers & Lybrand. Paul, how was it you got to Palm Beach, Florida?
Well, Jack, I was so blessed to come out of UK with a job with Coopers & Lybrand, then one of the Big Eight accounting firms. You know, could not have gotten a better job. And I was working in Louisville, their Louisville, Kentucky office. It was a great office for sort of the Midwest, Upper South. And yet, I think, you know, at one point, actually by my third year, I was starting to feel like I wanted to get back to kind of the big city. Loved Kentucky, as I said, 10 great years, maybe the best years of my life, and really had such an impact on my life. But I asked Coopers if I could get a transfer to Miami, Florida. They had a big office in Miami. I thought, I'll get to a big city, but I'll also be in the warm weather, on the beaches, you know, living a good life. And I did an interview with Coopers in Miami. They offered me a job. I hesitated. I started to have second thoughts, and I hesitated. The recruiter said, listen, take another day and think about it. Call me in the morning. I called back. I said, you know what? I absolutely want to come. And he said, well, the Miami job has been filled. You're going to West Palm Beach. I was sort of shocked because West Palm Beach in 1984 was not Miami Beach. It was a very small town. And I got here, and the office at Coopers was a small office, but there was a blessing in disguise because my biggest client was the Breakers Palm Beach. And, a few months later, 6-7 months later, I was supervising the audit of the Breakers. I spent 6 weeks at the client with my team. At the end of the engagement, like all audit engagements, the CPA firms will give the client not only their financial statement opinion, but they'll give them a management letter with some value-added recommendations about things they observed about their businesses. And long story short, I wrote a comment in that letter in 1984 that said, the company needs to hire more talent in the finance division, because the company was expanding at the time and seemed really under-resourced. And to be perfectly frank, I thought they might offer me that job, and that's exactly what they did. So it was a little self-serving, but it was also a completely honest and fair recommendation to the client.
There's no place like Palm Beach, Florida. For any of our listeners that have never gone down there, paint us a picture of Palm Beach, Florida.
Palm Beach is a piece of paradise. It is called Palm Beach for two reasons. It's the palm trees. There are palm trees everywhere, these beautiful, tall, all different varieties of palm trees. They're everywhere you look. And, of course, there's the beautiful beach and the ocean. And people in Palm Beach, both businesses and residents, tend to have beautifully manicured properties. The landscaping, the architecture is beautiful. The landscaping is beautiful. It's really like Fantasy Island because everything is visually so perfect. But you know, it's also this it's obviously known as one of the most affluent resort communities in the world. But at its core, it's a small town, and that's the other beautiful thing about it. Besides the physical beauty, is it's a small town, and you know, with a small town feel, a lot of sophistication. But at its core, it's a small town. And that's another part of its beauty. And the center of it is the Breakers, sitting on 140 acres of property. It's one of the most unique pieces of real estate in America. And one of the things that makes it unique is it's not overdeveloped. It's mostly green space. And sitting in the center of it, right on the ocean, is the majestic, it's often called the Palace by the Sea, the 1926 Italian Renaissance Breakers building.
Let's go back 125 years, and there's a man, Henry Flagler. Tell us about him.
Yeah, Henry Flagler. There's so much I could tell you about Henry Flagler, but in a few words, he was clearly a visionary. He was audacious to come down the east coast of Florida back in the late 1800s, and in the case of the Breakers, to step foot on this property back then, when it was really a jungle. There was no development, very hot, you know, the mosquitoes, the alligators, and he stood on this very property, this 140 acres, and said, this is where I am going to build one of the greatest resorts in the world to compete with the greatest properties in the French and Italian Riviera. And, you know, he was not only a visionary and audacious, he was super smart. He was Rockefeller's right-hand man in the formation of Standard Oil. So, you know, he had a lot of ability and a lot of courage and vision. And we're blessed today. You know, 123 years later, the Keenan family, who are heirs of Flagler through marriage, Henry Flagler married Mary Lily Keenan, we're proud to say this is the only large historic luxury resort in America still in the hands of its original family. never changed hands since Henry Flagler started it, married Mary Lily Keenan, and the Keenans own and operate it today.
If you want to learn more, www.thebreakers.com. All right, pretend we're in the car, and we're coming up the driveway into the grounds. Take us past the fountain to the main entrance. Paint that picture, please.
Yeah, the picture is one of the many unique and beautiful things about the Breakers is as you make that turn off of A1A into the driveway, it's a 1,000-foot-long driveway, beautifully manicured, landscaped, gardens on both sides. As you get closer to the main building, there is the historic original fountain, a majestic, massive fountain, water flowing out of it, and then as you turn into the main driveway to bring your arrive at the front door, it's one of the things the Breakers is noted for are the twin towers up on the top of the building on the north and south side, and this beautiful architecture. It looks like a palace. There is not another building in this country. The architecture was inspired by a building just in Rome called the Villa Medici, and that was a much smaller building, an estate, a big estate in Italy on a park, and the Breakers is probably 20 times that size. It's a very impressive building.
We get out of the car, Paul. We walk in the main lobby. The first thing we see is this unbelievable weekly floral arrangement. Describe for us the lobby and that floral arrangement.
Yeah, so the lobby, as you walk into the lobby, the first thing you will be naturally inclined to do is look up because you will see the 26 feet up above you, the most beautiful and original hand-painted fresco ceilings that, again, were inspired by original architecture and art in Italy. And if you look to the right and left, the lobby runs over 300 feet together in those two directions. And you're going to see a perfectly restored 1926 very special piece of architecture and interior design. It's restored to perfection. And as you look beyond the lobby, you'll see an interior courtyard, 16,000 square foot courtyard, with beautiful fountains out in the courtyard and landscaping, and again surrounded by this unique and beautiful Italian Renaissance architecture.
We're talking to Paul Leone, and the only thing I've ever seen in my life that rivals those ceilings are the Vatican Museum ceilings. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula, and with Paul Leone. Paul, since 2016, you've been the CEO of the Breakers. Define for us the culture of the Breakers.
The culture of the Breakers can be described in really one key line: outstanding, friendly service to each other and our guests. And the each other means to all of our team members, everyone who works here, and it's described that way intentionally. And that is to say, the better we care for each other, the better we can care for our guests. And so this is one of the most caring and friendly businesses I think you will find anywhere. And yet, it's also a culture of discipline, and discipline meaning rigor and high standards. And I make the speech every 2 weeks to our newest employees who join us. We hire about 20 new employees every 2 weeks. And I will say to them, I'd be surprised if you've ever worked in a more caring and friendly place, but I'd also be surprised if you've ever worked in a more challenging place. And it's challenging because we have incredibly high standards that are designed for all of us to be more successful and to be the best we can be. And it's an extremely busy place, and we have extremely demanding but wonderful guests and customers. But essentially, at its core, it's the culture of care and friendliness. We're in the people business, and it's all about our people taking care of our team first and then taking care of our guests.
Paul's team at The Breakers consists of 2,200 teammates, and you've said, I quote you now, The Breakers' greatest asset is its employees. Paul, as the CEO, how do you propagate that culture throughout the entire 2,200 team?
Yeah, you know, it's the old, you know, idea, Jack, of actions speak louder than words. It sounds like a wonderful concept, and it is. But starting with ownership and leadership, and right on down the line, we have to live out that culture, and lead by example every day. And so that's on one end of the spectrum, and that's really critical. The other is, you know, it's about the hiring as well. We propagate that culture by making sure we align the right people with this organization and our culture. You know, there are all different types of right people out there and personalities, and there are a lot of really talented people who come here to, you know, apply for a job who are talented, but maybe they don't have, you know, exactly the right behavior, really. It's sort of behavioral hiring that we focus on, people that want to serve others naturally. It's not about the training. It's about the heart. People that want to serve others, that are team players, that have a positive attitude, that have good energy, and I really mean emotional energy more than even physical, you know, what it takes to thrive in this business. So, you know, those are the two ends of the spectrum. It's, you know, that help us propagate this. It's alignment. It's getting the right people into this service culture. And then, of course, it's the leadership and management and right down the line, leading by example. We often say around here, culture trumps everything. And what we really mean by that is the most important job of a manager, a supervisor, a leader, is to love and care for their people. And the most important job of an hourly employee, a rank and file, is to take care of each other, to be the best teammate they can be. So we live that, you know, every day we can. We're far from perfect, but it's been a great way to operate this very successful business.
And The Breakers have about 15,000 applicants per year, and they hire only 500. Every time Pam and I have been there at The Breakers, everything oozes of first class, from the greeters to the wait staff to the cleaning ladies. Paul, it's like every one of them, it's their own place.
It really is. And, you know, that's you know, when you can achieve this alignment and this culture, and you know, there are certainly other ways to be successful, but this has been incredibly successful for us to have a culture where our people bring their best energy to work every day. It's not about the training. We do a lot of training. There's no question about it. But it's not about the training. It's about the hiring, the alignment with the right people in the right culture and the right jobs. And then it's about when you get that right, you get a team that comes to work fully engaged, bringing their best energy every day. And I like to say, you know, looking forward to coming to work every day, as hard as this is really hard work. As beautiful as this place is, as loving as it is, this is hard work. And yet at the end of the day, going home feeling gratified. And then they can come back and do it all over again because they're proud, they feel cared for, and they see a lot of smiling faces like yours and Pam's.
When you were 15, your mom moved you to this Paris, Kentucky, in the Starlight Motel. That's where you lived. When your mom comes to stay or eat at The Breakers today, Paul, what do you see in her eyes?
She is incredibly proud. She lights up. She is so proud. And yet, like a good mom, she'll usually have some advice for me. You're doing a great job. This is amazing. But by the way, did you, you know, think about this? And it goes all the way back to the Starlight Motel. I think mom is always teaching.
What does she call you, Paulie, or what does she call you?
She calls me Paul, and I'll give you a fun one because I know you're how much you love sports. My dad, who's no longer with us, he passed away 11 years ago, unfortunately. But dad used to call me Jack. And I don't think anyone's ever heard this publicly. His nickname for me was Wally, named after Wally Moon, who was a baseball player on the Brooklyn Dodgers.
So,
and my brothers still call me, at least my older brother will still call me Wally.
Wasn't no Wally one of the kids in the Leave It to the Beaver? Wasn't he one of the kids?
That's right. That too. Yep.
Wally in Brooklyn, boy, that was bad. Okay. As I read about you, I said, wow, this is one bright man. But then I read about that you say pay our people to go out in the community and help. Why?
Oh, boy. You know, so many reasons, but two fundamental reasons. One, we are so blessed. We have had so much success. Going all the way back to Henry Flagler, creating this great business for us and right up to today being one of the most successful luxury resorts in the world. You know, I don't even want to say have a responsibility. We certainly have that, but we have the heart to share our success. We really do. And especially when we see the tremendous need in our community, our surrounding community, in our state and everywhere you look, as you know. And so we feel really blessed, and we want to share our blessings as much as we can. The other idea is that we have an army of great people. We only hire great people, wonderful people, hardworking people, helpful people. We wanted to share that energy with our community. We also write a lot of checks, but sending our staff out into the community, 25,000 hours worth of work last year, and we're just scratching the surface on that, by the way. It's good for the community, but it's also good for our team. They are so proud. They get to enjoy, you know, what it feels like to help others. And I think many, you know, people in the lower levels and hourly positions don't necessarily have that opportunity, for obvious reasons. And so that's as important to me, that they get that experience that I get to enjoy so often, and that is the feeling of helping others. And so that's what's behind all that.
We're talking to Paul Leone, and he said, this is a ministry rather than just a business. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Paul Leone, an amazing human being. Paul, Pam and I met you on a Friday morning. We saw you at 8 o'clock Mass with maybe 30 people in his beautiful church. And then rain came. You were all dressed up. Rain came, and a nice gentleman, we had walked to the church from the hotel. He says, I'll give you a ride back. And he said, do you know who that man was? That's Paul Leone. He's the CEO of the Breakers. And then we went and breakfast in that circular room, and you were there. And he said, Jack, he's a daily communicant. So you're very Christ-centered. Why?
Oh, boy. So many reasons why. Starting with being, brought up as a Roman Catholic, and all the way fast forward to today, as I look back on my life, the more I look back and piece it all together, I realize how blessed I am, and how none of this could have happened, without being blessed and It certainly didn't. I could not have done it on my own. The good Lord opened doors for me, surrounded me with mentors. It took me, you know, probably until I was in my 40s to really begin to realize how the role that faith played in my life. And once I got back to that, I dedicated myself to having an even stronger faith, and including going to daily Mass. I was at St. Edward's this morning at Mass. I was thinking about you and Pam and that encounter. And last night, my wife and I went to this wonderful Mass at 2. It was an evening Mass followed by an hour and a half with this wonderful nun who prayed one of the most amazing rosaries. She had spent time with Mother Teresa and Pope John Paul. It was this amazing event. And so, anyway, I want to thank the Lord every day, and I want to count my blessings. I want to ask for help. I want to ask for forgiveness. That's the way I want to go. I'd like to start every day, and certainly, you know, at some point in every day, express that.
Thanks for sharing that. Speaking of every day, it's often said that in today's world, every day is a tryout. Well, at the Breakers, every meal is a tryout. You know, we had a great breakfast and lunch, but now we've got a dinner. So you and your team of 2,200 are constantly under the gun. How do all of you handle that every hour of every day?
You know, you're absolutely right. And I said earlier, you know, when I was talking about our culture, that this is a challenging business. This is a tough business. The hours, the standards, the weekends, the holidays. You know, we it's back to that balance that I mentioned, the culture of care and of discipline, that we balance it by having, you know, hiring people who have the energy for this marathon that we run every day, really, and every year, but also have the discipline. We have standards that are designed for success, and by the way, our team helps us improve those all the time. The people in the battlefield come up with better ideas, but fundamentally, we do it with both the love and the discipline. It feels, you know, the energy is great around here. As hard as the work is, people are feeling really good. But the other side is they have the training. We have the model. We have the playbook, and we are going to follow that book. So, you know, part of love is discipline. We're going to love our team by giving them, you know, tough performance reviews, by giving them, you know, by pushing them to grow and be better, not just so I can make a bigger bonus, so that we can all succeed. And so, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. This is really hard, and we bring that balanced approach to it. You can't just be all love and roses. It can't just be all discipline. It's a balance of the two, and that has worked really well for us. I don't want to boast, but you know, we're outperforming our competition by a margin, and I only say that because I like to share this model. This is a good model. This is a good way to run a business.
We're talking to Paul Leone, the CEO of The Breakers, www.thebreakers.com. If you have never stayed there, get there. Paul, you see 3- and 4-generation families every day eating and sharing in the Circle dining room. What does that teach you?
What does it teach me? Well, it teaches me a number of things. One thing it teaches me is that, from a pure business standpoint, is a loyal customer is an incredibly valuable customer. We have relationships that go on for decades, as you just indicated, referenced. And, you know, in those examples, they do the advertising for us. I mean, our marketing budget is modest. We're so blessed by our reputation. And again, using that example you just cited, it also applies to the corporate groups we deal with, the associations. We have longstanding relationships. And I think maybe that's one of the most valuable lessons I've learned from that, the value of relationships and repeat business, and how over time it's sort of like compound interest. It just not only keeps on growing, it becomes exponential. It's one of our greatest, probably intangible assets. If we could put a value on our relationships and a value on our reputation, it would be enormous.
For decades, Allstate Insurance had this Ed Reimer: "You're in good hands with Allstate." And as I watched you that weekend, that's you, Paul. You just have this aura about you. You're like a swan, you know, graceful in the water, but underneath, you got to be paddling like crazy. How do you do it?
You know, I'll tell you how I do it, and I try to lead by example for our team, because we want our team to be able to not only have a good job, but have a fulfilling job and have that spill over to their personal lives. Because, you know, we only have one life. We don't have a work life and a personal life. We really only have one life, and most of it is spent at work. And so for me, and to lead by example, I will tie this back to my faith to a great degree, but it's the idea of living a balanced life. So mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, to the extent I can, and be positively affecting all of those dimensions in my life, I'm going to be a better version of me when I come to the work part of my life every day. So for me, before I ever get to work, I have done something for my family. I've spent time on my faith, and I've taken care of my fitness as well. I did all three this morning. And that makes me, you know, not only, I think, a better leader, a better businessman, but it gives me more energy. I have more energy today at 61 years old than I had when I was 45.
Paul Lione, you've told us earlier that your life motto is be nice and work hard. And, sir, you do that every day. Keep it up.
Thank you so much.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself.